Good morning. For the last 2 weeks, Gail and I have been out of town. We went to Utah and to see Bryce Canyon, and I should say we went to the cool canyons of Utah, to Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park. 2 weeks ago, Sunday, we were in St. George, Utah. And the Sunday before we were there, they have a little board that told how many people were at church. There were 15. And on the Sunday we were there, there were 32. They heard we were coming, and they just all decided to... And then last Sunday we were in Amarillo, and worshiped at the church where my brother is an elder. And but there's some beautiful things to see in Utah. I recommend that you go in either September or October. Temperatures were averaged about 105 while we were there. But it's good to be back in Texas, in hot Texas again. There are a lot of things, I think, in the New Testament, a lot of names that we are called, a lot of descriptive titles given to God's people. One of the ones that I like the best is the concept that we are God's one another people. We have a relationship with one another. We are not alone as Christians. We have one another. And so this morning I want to talk about one specific aspect of being God's one another people. First of all, I want to give a little introduction to this one another idea. The first thing you'll see is the word that's found in the New Testament for one another is the word allelon. That's translated one another. That word is used about 58 times in the New Testament. That is outside of the Gospels. Paul used the word allelon 40 times. And, next slide, here are some of the ways that he used that word. I'm not going to read through all of those, but he sometimes uses a noun to explain that we are members of one another and so connected to one another. And he uses a lot of verbs telling us what we are to do in relationship to one another. Love one another, be devoted to one another. And you can see, I think there are 15 or 17, or I'm not sure how many that I've listed up there, but that's a good sampling of the things that we're told to do or things that we are in relationship to one another. The one aspect of one anotherness that I want to talk about this morning is to encourage one another. Encourage one another. I want to begin with a simple poem that I think expresses the idea of what we are as people, the choice that we have. It goes like this. I watched them tear a building down, a band of men in a busy town. With a ho-heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hire if you had to build? He gave a laugh and said, indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken a year to do. And I thought to myself as I went on my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by the rule and square? Or am I shaping my deeds to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town, content with the labor of tearing down? Am I a wrecker? Or am I a builder? Do I build other people up and build them in their lives? Am I an encourager? I want to begin by looking at the word which is translated encourage. It is the word parakaleo. Parakaleo. And that word can be broken into two parts. The ending part is the word kaleo, which means to call. The first part of the word is the word para. Parakaleo. Para means alongside or beside. And so if you put those two ideas together, it's to parakaleo means to call alongside or to call someone beside. And I found a picture that I think visually demonstrates the concept of parakaleo. These little girls all in a mass hugging each other. They have surrounded each other, and I'd like to be that little girl right there in the middle, all surrounded by her friends and receiving those hugs. They have come along beside her and are hugging her. In fact, I'm going to ask Bert Nickum if he'd come up here for just a minute. Thank you, Bert. If you don't mind standing on this row with me. Visually, the idea of parakaleo is this. What? To come along beside, isn't it? And instead of this or this, it's more this concept. I've got to mention, a few weeks ago I was in Friona, Texas, and I preached this sermon. And the guy who was leading the singing is named Thomas Reed. And so Thomas was handy. I called him to come up beside me, and I put my arm around him. And all the time I was talking, I noticed the Friona congregation were kind of covering their mouths and chuckling a little bit. A little bit later, I found out that Thomas Reed hates to be touched. And so I was parakaleo-ing him, and he was hating it the whole time. Thanks. He really got worried a few nights later when I preached on greet one another with a holy kiss. But the idea of parakaleo, or encourage one another, is visually, I think, demonstrated in this idea of holding someone close to you and encouraging them. This is used several places in the New Testament. Paul uses it. For instance, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, after talking to the Thessalonians about the idea that Jesus is coming again, there is going to be a second coming, at the end of those words about the second coming of Jesus, he says, therefore, encourage, parakaleo, encourage one another or each other with these words. He does it again in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11, after saying more about the second coming of Jesus, he says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. I think those two words basically go together. Encourage and build. Encourage one another and build one another up. In Hebrews, we find this statement in Hebrews chapter 3. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Instead, he says, instead of having a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another. I think this word's kind of important. Daily. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Why is it important for us to have this one another relationship? Why is it important for us to encourage one another so that we will not be caught in sin? So that we will not be sinners, but we will instead live as the Lord wants us to live. In Hebrews chapter 10, he says this, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean, or having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And then he says, and let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but instead, let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so this idea of encouraging one another is an important idea for Paul. I want to talk just briefly about an encourager from the New Testament. You know his name because he's called the Son of Encouragement. His name is Barnabas. Barnabas is not that prominent a character in the New Testament, but when you look at Barnabas, and we're going to look at about four different places in his activity in the book of Acts, he was a strong encourager of Saul of Tarsus, Paul. We know all about Paul, and we know all about what Paul did, but look at Barnabas and his relationship with Saul of Tarsus. He was known as the Son of Encouragement. That's mentioned the very first time that he is mentioned in Scripture. Joseph. His name was Joseph. And evidently they nicknamed him. Have you nicknamed a few people in your lifetime? Maybe Smitty or Shorty or Red or Butch or maybe Rocky or something. The nickname that Joseph received, was the nickname Barnabas. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. The first thing we're told about him is he sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. One of the encouraging things that he did was that he shared his possessions. He evidently was well off enough that he could sell some of his property, put it into the hands of the apostles, and therefore share it with other Christians. You remember the early description of the Jerusalem church. There was not a needy person among them because they shared all that they had in common. One of those who shared what he had and encouraged others as a result of it was Barnabas. The second time that we see Barnabas is in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus has just been converted. I guess that would be the word to use. Struck on the road to Damascus by that bright light and blinded. And Jesus then instructed him through Ananias to go and be baptized and to begin his work. He goes back to Jerusalem and he wants to join the Christians in Jerusalem. But before he arrived in Jerusalem, back from Damascus, he had been persecuting the church. He had been dragging off people to prison. He had been a terror to the Christians. And so they don't want anything to do with him. Well, how is that barrier overcome? That barrier is overcome, as we read here in verses 26 through 27, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And so because of Barnabas putting his arm around him, evidently, and saying, this man can be trusted. This man is one of us. We need to be one another with him. And he was accepted. And we know the rest of the history of Saul. Actually, Saul gets in trouble in Jerusalem shortly after that and has to leave under the threat of his life and go back to Tarsus. So there's more to the story of Barnabas and Saul. We'll get to that in just a moment. The next place we see Barnabas taking a very active role in the life of the church is in Acts chapter 11. The gospel is preached at Antioch, and Gentiles accept the gospel. And the church of Jerusalem, the leaders think, what's going on over there? We need to find out what's happening in Antioch. These Gentiles are becoming Christians. It says, news of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. We need to send someone down there, or up there. We need to send someone to Antioch to figure this out. And they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad, and look at the word that's used there. And he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, Luke tells us, verse 24. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. But guess what Barnabas does? Barnabas says, it's not enough for me to be here encouraging these Christians. I need someone here to help me. And I know just the person. Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Before Saul became Paul, he had Barnabas to mentor him, to stand alongside him, to help him become the kind of leader that he was going to become. The next place that we see Barnabas is in Acts chapter 13 and 14, when the church singles out Barnabas and Saul for a missionary journey. So Barnabas and Saul and John Mark start preaching on that first missionary journey. And then the next thing is Acts chapter 15. After they finish their preaching to the Gentiles, again there are questions about, should we accept Gentiles into the church? And so a great council is held in Jerusalem, and Barnabas and Saul are there to explain what they've done, how the Lord has opened the doors to the Gentiles. When that council ends, Barnabas and Saul are going to go back and encourage the Christians that they have taught on the first missionary journey. But this is what happens instead. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But when Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. And as far as we're concerned, he sort of sailed off into the sunset. We don't hear about Barnabas anymore. Now we start hearing about the Apostle Paul and his second journey and his third journey. But what we've heard about Barnabas, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great news? What a man he was. He took Paul under his wing. He took John Mark under his wing. He encouraged the church at Jerusalem. He encouraged the church in Antioch. He was an encourager, a man of encouragement. And so, this morning, next slide, I want to look just quickly, how specifically did Barnabas encourage? How did he accomplish this role of encouragement? Number one, I think we see in these verses that we looked at this morning that he was a talent scout. You know, America's Got Talent. Well, Barnabas was a talent scout before America's Got Talent. He was able to see in Saul of Tarsus someone that God was going to use and use powerfully. And maybe Saul wasn't ready when he first came back from Damascus to Jerusalem, but he spends time with him. He spends time with him a year in Antioch. He picks him out as someone that God has picked out. And he does the same thing with John Mark. Remember John Mark, who was in some ways such a failure on that first missionary journey? He takes him with him on that second, on his second journey. And later, Mark and Paul are reconciled. Mark's name is mentioned in one of Paul's letters about bring Mark with you. He's such an encouragement to me, or he is such a help to me. And by the way, isn't it a good thing that he took Mark under his wing and he was later able to write the Gospel of Mark, which all of us today love reading? And so, first of all, Barnabas was a talent scout. Secondly, he was not just a talent scout, he was a developer of talent. He had the ability, the patience, the ability to just work with someone and bring out the talent that they had. Now, we have those kinds of people in the church. I had that kind of person in my home. It was my mom. She saw that a little boy growing up on a cotton farm, who was just a hayseed farm kid, she thought that he could be a preacher and he could spend his life doing that. And so she gently pushed me in that direction. And probably you can think of people in your lives who were developers of your talent. Barnabas was that kind of person. We need that kind of person in the church. Thirdly, Barnabas was a peacemaker. Barnabas was a mediator. After his disagreement with Saul, Paul, he took John Mark under his wing and did for him what he had done for Paul. We need mediators and peacemakers in the church. And so finally, just this point. We need Barnabases in the church and Barnabesses. Whether you're a man or a woman, male or female, the Lord wants us to encourage one another. There are probably a lot of examples that could be used, but I want to mention one in this Hillcrest family. Probably embarrass her. But Kay Heflin and her little friends who are not with her today, the Barbrick family, and actually Cliff and Tally, and then their three children. It is an encouragement to me, a joy to me on Sunday mornings to see them gather together on that bench, surround each other, I guess you'd say, and encourage one another. One Sunday, it was Valentine's Sunday, the week of Valentine, I remember, because I walked up and Kay was sitting there like she's sitting there today, and I noticed these little candy things and a few items, and I walked up and I said, "Oh," I said, "who's that for?" Trying to give a gentle hint. She said, "Those are for my kids." And she was talking, of course, about the Barbricks, who later came in and were, I know, overjoyed to receive what she had prepared for them that day. But they mutually encourage one another. And that probably happens in a lot of different parts of this room and throughout the week among the members of this congregation. But we are called to encourage one another. Let me end with reading this again. I watched them tear a building down, a band of men in a busy town. With a ho heave ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the side wall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled and the men you'd hire if you had to build? He gave a laugh and said, no indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily wreck in a day or two what builders have taken a year to do. And I thought to myself as I went on my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a wrecker? No. Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life by rule, the rule and square? Am I shaping my deeds to a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks the town content with the labor of tearing down? I hope this morning that if you've thought about Barnabas and you've thought about the words encourage one another, that you've been analyzing, that you've been thinking about yourself. Do I build people up? Do I encourage? It's possible to be someone who is always tearing down others. It's possible to be someone who seeks to build others up. It's also possible to be somewhere there in the middle, not doing much to encourage or to wreck. I hope you'll commit yourself to be more of an encourager. The greatest encouragement that we have received in life is the encouragement from God through His Son Jesus and His sacrifice on our behalf. He has encouraged us to look beyond this life to eternity. This morning, if you're not a Christian, and maybe you're ready, maybe today is the day that you're ready to accept Jesus as your Lord, we're about to sing a song. Lynn's going to come up and lead us in a song, and we invite you to make that decision before us today. In the presence of these witnesses, give your life to the Lord. It may be that you need prayers of your fellow Christians. You need to be encouraged by all of these one another's out here. If that's your need, we invite you to come. Let's all stand and sing this invitation song.